Good morning again, everyone. We're going to start right here in talking about this lesson here. Maranatha, the Lord is coming soon. His coming is at hand. Therefore, be ye also ready. It's like, you know, we need to blow a trumpet. Get ourselves ready. It is a time to make preparation for the coming of the Lord, or start making preparation and keep getting ready. We need to get ready and be ready. Let's consider one parable and a couple other things that the Lord says here in the scriptures. We will start here at Matthew chapter 25. That's where we start today, Matthew 25. And this lesson that I want to bring out of this parable, it's a good one. And let's just engage him in the spirit. Now, I have heard people interpret this parable, slice it up, slice and dice it, and say this part of it means this, that part of it means that. Well, Jesus didn't say any of that. So, you know, for those parables that he didn't say what each piece of the parable means, we need to look for the overall lesson that he is trying to convey in that message. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit will give us an understanding of that, and then we can see, you know, what the Lord is trying to say. You know, but I don't want us to focus on slicing and dicing this parable. That has been done for many, many years. You know, I'm so sure many of you have heard interpretation of the parable. You probably have made your own interpretations as well. You know, because everybody has one thing or the other, has had one thing or the other to say or think about this parable. But you stay with me and let's see what the Lord is going to say here. Matthew chapter 25. We start at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But ye go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward also came the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now, that's the end of that particular parable. And then let's address it without breaking it down into pieces. Now, how traditionally have people broken this thing down? You know, well, the way we've broken it down, or it's been broken down, is to say, well, 10 virgins means this, the oil means that, the lamp means that, and all that stuff. I'm not doing that, any of that this morning. And that's not what the Lord is trying to convey. When you do that, you miss it. Here's what happens, you know, with that kind of thinking. You know, people have said that oil means the Holy Spirit and lamp means the Word of God. And this is that and this is that. Well, what that means is this. People then justify themselves. Jesus said, look, in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, "Ye are they which justify yourselves." People justify themselves by you know, interpreting this parable that way. You know, and so they say, well, you know, the lamp means the word, the Holy Spirit is the oil. So it means those people didn't have a Holy Spirit and all that. So as long as they think they have a Holy Spirit, I speak in tongues, therefore it means that I, you know, I'm a part of the wise. That's the farthest thing from the truth. That's not what Jesus was saying here. He said nothing of the nature. So if he wanted to mean that, he would give us that interpretation to mean that. He didn't say that. So when we read these parables where Jesus did not interpret the parable, some of them he did point blank, you know. And the parable of the wheat and the tares, he interpreted it point blank. The parable of the sower, he interpreted it point blank. We don't need to guess in those cases. But the ones that he didn't interpret, well, let's not try to interpret it. Let's just look for the lesson that he's trying to bring. But here's what I would say, though, for those who, you know, like to interpret and so on. This is a sad story because if you were to analyze this parable and interpret it, there seems to be about 50% roughly that don't make it or not ready. Because they're five wise, five foolish. But that's about as far as I would go with the breakdown and analyzing the pieces of it. But here is the lesson in this story. There were two categories of people here. They were called virgins. People have also analyzed what those virgins mean. I'm not going to worry about that right now. Some were wise and some were foolish. Traditionally, we have also been told that those they were foolish because they did not take oil in their lamps. And this one were wise because they took oil in their lamps. That's what the church tradition has told us over the years. But let me say it to you this way today. It wasn't that because they didn't take oil that made them foolish. It's the other way around. It was because they were foolish that made them not to have extra oil. Now, it wasn't that these people who were wise or called wise, it wasn't the fact that they took extra oil that made them to be wise. No, it was, on the other hand, it was the fact that they were wise that made them to have foresight to have extra oil. So some of us that are from Africa, we have these kerosene lamps that you put the, it only has a little reservoir, you know, at the bottom. And you can only put so much kerosene or whatever, you know, it's going to be put in there. And it has this lamp wick. You know, you crank it up, you turn it on, and that sometimes, you know, the thing gets burnt out. You trim it a little bit, and crank it up, put some oil in it. So anyway, they took their lamps. The lamps could only hold so much oil. And some of them had the foresight that the journey might be long, bridegroom might be delayed. That's the other interpretations that people give here, that, you know, the bridegroom is here, the virgins are here, where is the bride? Well, I don't know. That's not the lesson that I want to focus on here. The lesson I want to focus on is, therefore, be ye also ready. The story here is about being ready or not being ready. Now, whatever the lamp, oil, virgins, bridegroom, or whatever means, the lesson here is what Jesus said at the end. Be ready. Now, so in any case, the ones that were foolish and did not think ahead and did not make preparation, appropriate preparation, they did not have extra oil. But I want you to notice what they said in verse 8. Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, so, you know, they had oil and their lamps were burning at one time. And so, because people say, well, they didn't have oil, that means they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Well, that's not true. They actually had oil and their lamps were actually burning for some time. I mean, that oil, whatever was in that little reservoir in the lamp, probably lasted quite a while, you know. But after a while, it went out because of the delay, you know, that they didn't know the journey would take quite as long. So the lamps were burning at a time, but the lamps went out. And that's a big lesson. It's not that they never had the lamp. It's not that they never had the oil. They had lamp. The lamps were burning. They had oil in the lamps. He said, but now he said, our lamps have gone out. Let me also bring to us here that in verse 5, it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all, whether wise or foolish, all slumbered and slept. Well, let me look, use an analogy to describe this scenario. Suppose you are to go on a trip, an air trip. You know how it is these days. You know, they want you to arrive 2 hours, 2.5 hours and all that, depending on where you're going, whether it's local, international flight and all that. So all kinds of protocols you have to go through at the airport. And so if you have a flight that's at 6 a.m., you got to get there at 4 a.m. or earlier and so on and so forth. Again, depending on the type where you're going, the time of day, you know, the traffic, the kind of people that are going to be, I mean, the amount, the number of people that will be there, you know, you try to get there as early as you can. But so if you're going on a trip, I know that, you know, my wife and I, whenever we have to go to travel to Nigeria, we didn't go this year. We went last year. You know, I mean, if you, you know, let's say last year we were planning to travel in October of last year to Nigeria. If you came to our house, maybe in May, you would see boxes and suitcases and things in May, you know, and we were making ready. I mean, just a little here, a little there, you know, anything we remember, we just throw it into this one box or this one suitcase. I mean, we're not packing quite yet, but as you remember the thing, you just put it there so you don't forget. You're making preparation. You look at the suitcase. This suitcase is not good. It's old. Let's go buy another set. You know, and so on. You know, and you think of, oh, well, you know, there are some people over there that I might like to take some gifts to. You buy those gifts. You throw it in this box or you throw it in that suitcase. You're not packing just yet, but you're just making preparation. A little here, a little there. You know, and some of the other things you got to make preparation for is you check whether your passport, better check. Your passport is still valid and all that. I mean, you check the traveling rules. I remember last year they still had COVID rules. So as the day was approaching, I was reading went online to read all the COVID rules, COVID travel rules, both for exit from the United States and for entry into Nigeria. And my God, those things were really, you know, tedious. You know, as a matter of fact, a lot of people missed their travel because they didn't quite comply with one or more of those regulations at the time. So there's a lot of things you do. And you get ready, you kept getting ready and so forth like that. You know, but so on the day of the travel itself, you know, I don't like early morning travel. You know, my wife does, but I don't like early morning travel. I like to have a little more time in the day because I'm not quite there when I get up in the morning. So, you know, let's just say the travel is at a convenient time. I'm the one that usually picks the travel time. So I try to pick the one that's convenient. You know, I'm not going to take the 6 a.m. flight, but that means I have to get up at 3. I'm not going to do it. So I'm going to take the 11 or 12 a.m. flight. I have time to get up. I have time to still do our morning exercise, do this and that, and then go to the airport. Now, the night before that travel, if everything was ready, I mean, here are some of the things that, you know, I normally do to get ready. After we do put all those things in the suitcases, I got to take the scale, you know, measure them multiple times. And if I have multiple scales in the house, you know, because calibration may be different. So I try one or two to see, you know, if they seem close enough, then I say, okay, maybe they are correct. I try my weight. I try this. I try that to try to figure out which scale works and try to measure the thing. Make sure your bag doesn't go over. You do all these things. And when you are all done, then you go to bed before the night. I mean, the night of before the trip. Just because you made all that preparation for the trip doesn't mean you are not going to sleep. Now, you may not sleep if the flight is too early in the morning, you know, and you won't sleep. But I like to sleep, so I push the flight out a little bit and sleep. And just because I went to bed the night before doesn't mean I'm not ready for that trip. I'm ready. I'm packed. You know, I've got all my immunization or whatever it is you're supposed to get. You got your passport in order. You got, you know, if you are going to a country where you need a visa, you got the visa. You know, thankfully, when we go to Nigeria, since we're citizens of both countries, we don't need that. But whatever it is, you do all of that ahead of time. Then you go to bed. So just because you went to bed doesn't necessarily mean you are not ready. You know, because I've heard some other interpretations about that. So you go to bed and then you wake up. Now, here's what happens. You know, the scenario I described is the person that was making ready. Here's the scenario of the person that's not making ready. You know, they leave everything to the last minute. They don't check their passport. They don't check the, travel immunization rules. They probably don't even get the visa if where they're going requires a visa. I mean, they don't check their luggage. They don't weigh the luggage. I mean, there's all these things that you have to do. You know, they tell you, you know, don't take liquids that are more than 3 ounces in your carry-on, this and that. I mean, they don't check all those things. They just, you know, wait at the last minute, throw everything together, you know, and they're what? And then they start panicking because they haven't spent the time to figure all this out. And chances are they probably will miss that flight. Or when they get there, because they didn't do one of those things that they should have done, they may not be allowed on the flight, you know, because they didn't spend the time to figure out what all they needed to do in order to get ready. And so on and so forth. I mean, so you see the analogy of getting and making ready, making preparation. So that's the analogy here. So let's read, you know, a few more scriptures about this getting ready and not getting ready. And there's a few more things I will say about that in a bit. Before I read the additional scriptures, let me point out something else here too. Yeah, this one has, you know, not too much to do with the readiness, but I just want to point it out anyway. The fact that when they came to the wise and said, give us some of your oil, our lamps are gone out, that the wise said no. I want to point that out as well. You know, there are times that you have to say no, because I'm not going to let somebody else's lack of planning become my own emergency. You guys have heard that statement. You know, so if these wise people, this is part of their being wise. They are wise. They are prudent. You know, they're not going to allow distractions like these people trying to, bring their own problem upon their head. They learn how to say no. Now, there are many people in the body of Christ today that believe that saying no is wrong. And if you said no, that means you don't have any love. Let me just throw that out here. Now, Jesus told this parable himself. Did these wise virgins not have love in their hearts? Because they say, well, you don't have any love. If you have love, you give us of your oil. I said, no, we don't have enough. Go get for yourselves, because you should have gotten for yourself. So there are times where you have to say no. That's called the spirit of sound judgment. You know, one of the pillars of wisdom, sound judgment. You have to use that sound judgment sometimes to say no. And don't let somebody else drag you down. You're making preparation for the coming of the Lord. If they don't want to get ready, well, that's not your problem. And let me also say this here, that many of us traditionally over the years have thought about, you know, the Lord is coming for the church. Well, he is, but We need to start thinking of it as individuals. No more like God, the Lord is coming for the church. You can't hide behind the church, folks. You know, you cannot. It's one person. You know, you're going to stand for yourself. You can't even take your children with you. I mean, as much as we'd love to grab our children when the Lord comes, they either going to be ready. You can't even hold your spouse's hand and go together. Even if you were holding hands at that time, you'd be separated. You know, Jesus said even when two people are in the same bed, you'd be separated. You know, it doesn't work that way. Everybody, think of this readiness as yourself. Don't think of the church. Church is good. Jesus will get the church. But you, you're responsible for yourself. Me, I'm responsible for myself. You know, so now let me read a few more verses that deal with this readiness. Then I'm going to ask us some questions, and then we're going to consider some things here. Here is another, you know, Jesus spoke quite a bit about, you know, his coming and, you know, some other things that will happen at the end and so forth. In the previous chapter of Matthew 24, starting from around verse 42, there's also another lesson that he teaches here. You know, in Matthew 24, he's talking about the signs of the coming because they asked him some questions. And he's answering all those questions. But I'm not going to go through all that. I'm going to just pick it up here. You know, I'm going to pick it up here at the, you know, maybe verse. Well, I was going to go to verse 42, but let me just start at verse 36, just to give us an idea. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, not, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah, well, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now, all of these things could be distractions because, you know, they are so focused. What are the things that you are focused on right now? What's your chief concern? What's your passion? What's your pursuit? Some of us, it's, oh, you know, I need to get this degree. I need to get married. I'm married. I got to raise, you know, my children, or I'm looking to, you know, get pregnant and have a child, or whatever. So I remember even in the 70s, you know, when we first started in my dad generation, we were hearing quite a bit about the coming of the Lord. You know, and some people then, I would say, you know, were, I don't know, I don't think many people's thinking back then was really wise. But some of you say, yeah, well, the Lord is coming. You know, I need to stop everything I'm doing, you know, leave school, and I need to go get married because I want to enjoy before the Lord comes. People actually said that back in the 70s. You know, it was crazy stuff. You know, of course, many of them were young and foolish, you know, and all that. You know, that's, you know, we're going to talk about some of that today. That's not what we're talking about. Paul was writing, he said, look, are thou called being a servant? You know, don't worry about it. But if you can be made free, well, that's good. Use it. You know, in whatsoever state you are called, therein remain. If you are called being a student, that's good. You don't need to leave school just because the Lord is coming. If you are called and you're married and you're already there, you don't need to, you know, separate from your wife and go to the bush, you know, because the Lord is coming. You know, Enoch walked with God and for 300 years and he had sons and daughters. So we're not talking about, you know, that. But there are other things, even while we are doing these things, some of them may become snares and distractions. So those are the lessons to learn in these things. They didn't know about it until the flood came. Well, even when Noah was talking about it, and when Noah was building the ark, they probably were all mocking and said, what is he doing? Because it had never rained before that time. You know, but Jesus said, well, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Two may be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding in the mill, and so on, and all that. You know, one may be taken, one that left. You know, verse 42 is where I'm going. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. He'd be ready and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. That's where I took this title of this lesson for from. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. An hour that you think not, that's when he's coming. Who then is that faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord had made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Well, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Now, this is another lesson about rewards. You know, this is one way to be making preparations, be doing the things that he asks you to do. Now, this is not the only thing, you know, but this is one thing. You know, if he finds you so doing, he said, it will give you even a greater reward, make you ruler even over many of his goods, all his goods, actually, he said. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant should come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he's not aware, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So again, you know, this lesson is about, this last part of it is about not being ready. Because the guy in his mind was saying, well, my Lord delayeth his coming. He's not coming yet. You know, some people say, well, where is the promise of the Lord's coming? Since the, you know, Second Peter, you know, chapter 2 is talking about that. I mean, since the fathers fell asleep and all of that, where is the promise of his coming? They say, well, but he said, look, don't you know that the Lord is, 2 Peter chapter 3, say the coming, where is the promise of his coming? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 4. But since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. This they are willingly ignorant of, that, you know, in the beginning, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of water and in the water, wherein the world that then was overflowed with water and perished in the days of Noah, just like Jesus said, and so on and so forth. You know, that, you know, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering, waiting and hoping, you know, that all should come to repentance, giving them a little more time. But that day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. You know, so the lesson here is the preparedness versus unpreparedness. You know, some people will be prepared, others will not be prepared. You know, let's read another lesson here in Luke chapter 12. And there's a few more things I want to call out here. Luke chapter 12, let's read from verse 35 is where I'm going, but I will read it from verse 32, just for some context. Fear not, little flock, he said, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old. I'll be talking about, something, another story in a minute. Provide for yourself a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, you know, where no thief approacheth, neither moth can corrupt. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, here's where I'm going. Let your loins, this is Luke 12 and 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Well, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Now, watching is, you know, somebody who is in expectation or has expectancy, you know, is in a, you know, looking for something to happen, watching. Verily I say unto you that he, which is the Lord, shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and come forth and serve them. You know, these are just lessons. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and shall find them so, blessed are those servants. And know this, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken through. Same thing. Be ye therefore also ready. Same thing. For the Son of Man cometh in an hour that you think not. Then he goes on to say the same things about the servant and so on. The same lesson. I won't bother to read that part. Now, how do we make ready then? You know, like I said before, it's not about, you know, trying to unpack this parable in the sense of the bridegroom means this, the bride is silent here, it means that, the midnight hour means that, the trimming of the lamp means this, the lamp means that, the oil means that, you know, and all that, the virgins means this, you know, so all of that is good, but that's not the lesson I'm bringing out today, you know, and yes, there was a cry that was indeed made at midnight and said, go ye out to meet him. And then people scrambled. You know, you have to scramble. But some people scrambled with readiness and preparedness. Others scrambled without readiness. And they found out that, oh, they were in shortage of something that they needed. So that's the lesson here. Now, what do you do when you are going to have an important guest come to your house? I mean, you invited them over or whatever, you make preparation, right? We make preparation. Now, here's some of the questions I want to start asking us today. Then I'll tell you a story in a minute, and then I'll ask you some questions after that too. Suppose you knew that the Lord was coming to your house, say tomorrow. Suppose you knew that. What would you be doing today? If the Lord was coming to your house tomorrow, what would you do today? So that's the question. You know, when he comes, are there things in the house that you'll be ashamed of for the Lord to see? Would you try to clean up, clean out, get rid of those things that you wouldn't want the Lord to see when he comes to your house? And the Lord said, look, I'm coming to visit you tomorrow. You knew that. What are you going to do? Are you just going to not do anything? Just let him come, find your house in shambles, find the things that you'll be embarrassed and ashamed about. No, you wouldn't do that. Not even if it was the Lord, even if it was some important person or some special guests that you want to make a good impression with, you'd clean up your house. You'd set your house in order. You know, you get ready. You probably even make a feast, make arrangement for the meal. I mean, you do all kinds of things, you know, to make sure that you make that good impression. Well, if it was the Lord coming, what are those things that you wouldn't want the Lord to see in your house? Now, this is the lesson today. This is the time to start cleaning house and making ready and making preparation for the great celebration. It's coming. You know, but if we're not ready, we're going to be scrambling at the last time. It may be too late. It may come upon the person that is unprepared, unawares. So that's the lesson. But let me read to you a story here in Luke chapter 9. Just two verses, verses 52 and 53. In these two verses, Jesus himself was going to go somewhere. And he sent his disciples over there. I believe it was maybe Samaria or someplace. Let me just open to it. Luke chapter 9. Do I have the right verse here? Hold on a minute. I'm in Mark. Sorry. Luke chapter 9. Let me get there. Okay. So verse 52. So, you know, Jesus sent messengers before his face. Luke 9:52. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him. Because, you know, his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. So, well, if you look like Jerusalem is going, we don't care to have you here. They did not make ready. Now, of course, you know, the disciples, some of the disciples wanted to call down fire on them and all that. But that's not my lesson here. But the lesson is, they did not make ready for him. Mark 9, verse 52. You know, they did not make ready. There was a time that Jesus told the disciples, you know, go somewhere, you'll find a man and tell him that, you know, I'm going to come and eat the supper in your room and make you ready. You know, so many times, you know, this making ready is some preparing for some event. Make ready. That's where we eat my supper. And the man will show you a great upper room, and there make ye ready. Jesus told them when he was preparing to go to the cross. Now, there was a man. This is another story here that I'm going to tell you. And this story is in multiple places. It's in Mark, and it's in Luke, and so on. But I like this one in Luke. So let's read this one. In Luke chapter 18, there was a man in verse, I'm going to read from verse 18. There was a man that came to Jesus, right, and said to him, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? You know, and so forth. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And Jesus just told him a whole bunch of things from the law. And he said, these things have I kept from my youth and up. Now notice this one thing, and this is the question to us this morning. Notice what Jesus said in verse 22. And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Now remember, when we were reading Luke 12, I said I will come to that story where I said, sell that you have, give alms, you know, give and make treasure in heaven. Yet thou lackest one thing. Go sell that you have, distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And this man went away sorrowful, because he had great riches. And Jesus said, how hardly shall they that trust in riches, have riches, enter into the kingdom of God. You know, so they said, well, what was the problem with this man? He had one more. There's always one more thing, folks. So here's a question to each of us today, myself included. What is that one thing that I yet lack? Or what are those things that I yet lack? And the question is to you as well, that will make you not to be ready, or that are holding you back. What are those distractions? What are those things that this man set his, you know, trust in riches, his dependency, and his attachment to those riches? And Jesus knew that that was the thing. Even though he kept the law and did all these things, he knew. Now, only Jesus knew that. The man himself probably didn't even know that that thing was, because in his mind, he kept all the law. And he didn't know that there was this one thing that was holding him back. Everybody that saw the man probably thought he was a very pious man. Kept all the law, you know, kept all the commandments, and, you know, very rigid in everything, and it was straight as an arrow. So, but Jesus saw through all of that. I mean, we can do all that, and yet one small thing can be what's holding us back. In this case, it was the man's attachment to his riches. There's nothing wrong with being rich. You know, God wants the children of God to be rich. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was poor, yet for our sakes he became, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, but when we have emotional attachment to the things of this world, you know, that's where depression comes in, when those things are lost. When a person sets their heart or their affection on the things that can disappear, and those things disappear, then they are depressed. So the scripture says, set your affection on things above and not on things beneath. So this man, there was yet one thing that he lacked. Now, what about you? What is the thing that you yet lack that may be holding you back from being fully ready? Or should I say, what are those things that you need to pay attention to in order that you may be fully ready? You know, this story is also in Mark chapter 10. You know, and in Mark chapter 10, there's one part also that I want to bring out. In Mark chapter 10, this man came and said, you know, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? In verse 17, why callest thou me good? It's none that is good but God. Same kind of story. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not do this. Do not do that. Defraud not, so on. Honor your father and mother. Same thing. And then he said, master, I have kept all this from my youth. Now, in this place, Jesus beholding him, loved him and said unto him, you know, in the lesson in Luke, he didn't talk about Jesus loved the man. In this case, Jesus actually appreciated the man. And, you know, his heart went out to this man that, wow, this man done all these good things. And so Jesus, you know, wishing to give the man help to make sure that after all these things that you have done, you still won't miss it. Jesus looked at the man, of course, saw everything about this man, saw his heart, where his heart was at. And even though he's done all those things, his heart was set on his riches. And because Jesus loved him, he said to him, look, there's one thing that you lack. Well, Jesus wasn't trying to make the man miserable. He was trying to make him to make it. Because the man is the one, Jesus was minding his business. This man came and asked Jesus a question. And so he's going to tell it to you. You know, I tell people all the time, you ask me a question, I'm going to tell it to you the way it is. If you don't want to hear what I have to say, then don't ask me. You ask me, I'm going to tell it to you the way it is. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. You know, I'm going to tell you the way it is. If you don't want it, then don't ask me. So this man asked Jesus, and Jesus told it to him. And that it will help him so that he had done all these things, kept the law, you know, all the relationship laws, you know, don't steal from your brother, don't kill, don't be a false witness, don't defraud them, honor your father and mother. I told them all that stuff. I said, I've done all this stuff from my youth. Jesus said, there's one thing yet that you lack. And this one thing is going to hold you back. And it's actually holding you back. Since you want so badly to get into the kingdom, and you're asking how you may enter there. Well, this thing that is holding you back, here's how you get around it. Get rid of it. Sell what you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. Now, that was not anything funny to the man at all, because he had great riches and his heart was set on those riches. Wow. You know, so Jesus said, look, how hardly it is for them that have riches to enter in the kingdom of God when their heart is in riches. So disciples were astonished at his words. And Jesus explained it to them again. This is the part I want to bring out. There's nothing wrong with the riches. But he said, he explained it to them again in verse 24 of Mark 10. Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches. This man put his trust in his riches. He kept all the law. You know, so, you know, and many of us, we justify ourselves. It's like the story that Jesus told in Luke 18. That Luke 18 contains a lot of things. He told the story, you know, because of people, some people who thought in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. And he said, look, you know, the in Luke chapter 18, verse 9, he said, and he spake this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee, the other a publican. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I was praying with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I mean, this man kept the law. He kept the law. He even fasts twice a week, give tithes of everything he's possessed. This man is actually giving tithes, fasting, doing all these things. You know, but in this man's case, what was preventing him from getting anywhere, his prayers weren't going anywhere, was because he thought within himself that he was righteous and he despised others. So there were two things going here against this guy, even despite the fact that he had kept all the law and he has, you know, fasted every twice a week, gave offering, does all these things. Something was going to prevent his prayers from going anywhere. More importantly, he might even be preventing himself from entering into the kingdom. The fact that he trusted in his own self-righteousness and despised others. See, so now these things are important. So what is the thing that is holding you back? What is it? You know, some people, it's their pride. It's their arrogance. You know, like this man. You know, well, I'm not even like this Pharisee. I mean, like this publican. I'm better than them. I don't do all these things that other people do. You know, I'm this and that. You know, yeah. Jesus didn't say he didn't do all those things, that he didn't keep the law. He kept the law. Fasted and gave. But he had pride and arrogance in his heart. And that would keep him from the kingdom. And as many things that people, look, scripture says we keep all the things, but we offend in one area, then you're guilty of all. And this is serious business, folks. And the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit, you know, is not speaking in tongues like people think. That's the farthest thing from it. The role of the Holy Spirit is to show you these things, you know, make you ready, bring you more into the image of the Christ. And help you to make preparation. I will send you another comforter. I will not leave you comfortless. And when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He will help you get ready and so forth. He will remind you of the things that I've said. You know, about people today who have the Holy Spirit or think they are receiving the Holy Spirit. They focus on speaking in tongues. When the Holy Spirit is, you know, checking us in our hearts, we don't pay attention. As long as we are able to speak in tongues, as long as we are able to, I'm not bashing speaking tongues. I speak in tongues all the time. So, but that's not the point. The point is, it's not about that. The point of this lesson today is about getting ready for the coming of the Lord, which people have put aside. Because, you know, we're in the pursuit of whatever it is that is the one thing that is holding you back. You are in pursuit of that. And Jesus said, what shall it advantage a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, you may not lose your soul, but you may miss the day of the visitation. And you know, the people that will miss it, the people that will have weeping and gnashing of teeth the most are church folks. Now, unbelieving folks that never believed anything anyway, or scoffers that never believed anything anyway, when they start reading in the news that thousands or so people have disappeared suddenly, they are not going to have gnashing and weeping of teeth because they really didn't believe it. They may still try to explain it away. But those that sat in church, listen to these things, thought they even have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit checked them along the way. They didn't listen. They didn't pay attention. They say, well, it doesn't really matter. You know, and so on. And they didn't clean up and clean house and get ready. Those will be the ones that will have the weeping and the gnashing of teeth when they suddenly realize that, wow, these things that have been said all along are now suddenly taking place. A lot of people are suddenly missing. They're gone. And what? And then, you know, what are we going to do? Including pastors, leaders, prophets, apostles, everything. If they're not ready, you can say all the things that you've done, but there may be one thing still that's holding you back. And Jesus said on that day, Matthew 7 and 21, they will say, Lord, 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 you know, did we not do all these things? Why did you leave us behind? And Jesus said, look, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. So maybe there is something that we are, you know, and you know, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Something, you know, rebellion, disobedience to the Holy Spirit, trying to have our way. Sometimes we call them little foxes that spoil the vine, but they are not little at all. These are the things that will keep people from the kingdom of God. Unforgiveness. You have unforgiveness in your heart. This may be the one thing that you lack. You may be doing all these other things, but you are still holding on to that grudge or that thing. You still have that hurt and you will not let go. You know, you have, you know, backbiting, bitterness, all these things, which the Bible said, you know, get rid of these things. But we don't think it matters. Some people say, I cannot forgive that person. Well, that may be the one thing, maybe your Achilles heel. Maybe the one thing that's going to hold you back. And where are you going to be on the day when you find out that this great celebration that you should have been making preparation for, by cleaning out all the things that would embarrass you if the Lord came to visit you, where were you going to be if you find out that it's happening and you missed it? Well, that's not going to be your portion in Jesus' name. It's not going to be mine. It's not going to be yours. So that's what we're going to pray about today. That the Lord will help us to figure out what the one thing is in our lives that may keep us out. You know, now, this is not a lesson or teaching that most people would enjoy, you know, but because it's not necessarily about, you know, getting ahead in life and so on, which we preach about that all the time. But this one is, if you don't do this and you do all the other things, then where is he going to lead you when the Lord suddenly shows up? Are you going to be ready? You know, that's our lesson today. Am I going to be ready? If the Lord was coming to visit me in my house tomorrow, if I knew it today, are there things in my house, in parentheses, life? Are there things in my house or my life that I would not want the Lord to see? Well, now is the time to start cleaning house, getting rid of it. All these things that the Lord has condemned in the scriptures, starting with unforgiveness, starting with root of bitterness, you know, starting with, you know, backbiting, malice, daring false witness, speaking evil of others, you know, lying, you know, all these things which the scripture condemns. There may be one thing that is yet holding you back. And you may do all these other things, like this man said, I've done all these things from my youth and up. And yours may even be your riches or your passion to get riches. It's like this man. Yours may be, you know, you're pursuing something in life. You know, it may be the next degree, the next big house. You want to get married. You know, you want to get that promotion. You want to do this or that. Whatever it is, you know, there are something, there may be some, what is the one thing that you still lack? You know, and I believe that the day that the Lord will come, of course, many things will be leading up to it, which we are already seeing now. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah is actually we are worse now than Sodom and Gomorrah. In Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't know that they were forcing their children. It was the men and so forth that were lewd and trying to do crazy stuff. You know, there was Sodom and Gomorrah field was homosexuality. Well, it's our world today is full of that. But not only that, you know, they've got LGBTQ, X, Y, Z, everything you want. You know, we don't hate any of those people, but it is in your face kind of thing is what they are doing today. To put it in God's face, you know, hate the Lord to his face. Turn righteousness upside down. Bible says, woe unto you that call good evil and evil good. Turn everything around, and then try to teach the children so. So we are way past Sodom and Gomorrah, folks. Way past. So the cup of iniquity is full. So if you don't think that the signs of the coming of the, signs of the end or the coming of the Lord is at hand, think again. You know, it's so round the corner. It is so upon us. And as it was in the days of Noah also, there will be warning messages, heralding of the Lord's coming, blowing the trumpet in Zion, just like a lesson like this, and yet people will not pay any attention. And if you are here listening to this, either now or you listen to the replay, and if it still does not make any impact to you, then you perhaps engage in this message in the flesh. Because this kind of message should shake us up and wake us up that they all slumbered and slept. But some of them had made preparation. It's not the fact that they slept in the night before the travel. You can still sleep. But were you prepared ahead of time? You know, some were prepared. Some were not prepared. They had intrinsic foolishness in themselves. That they were not always looking ahead and making the proper preparations. That's why they didn't take extra oil. These ones had intrinsic wisdom and counsel in themselves to know how to prepare for something that is coming. Well, if the Lord is coming, how should we be making preparation? This is a consecration message today. You know, that, you know, help us to consecrate our lives before the Lord and to say, Lord, show me that one thing that I yet lack. The thing that may make me not to be ready. You know, we've been quoting this Psalm 110 verse 3 every day almost. Quoted most of the time. That thy people shall be willing, or I should say ready, in the day of thy power. Will you be ready? The song we used to sing say, will you be ready when the Lord shall come? Will you be ready? You know, we're not talking too much about that anymore these days. Why? Because we're in the spirit of the age of, you know, I am full and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Yet Jesus said, well, you don't know that you are wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked. I counsel you, to buy of me gold tried in the fire and receive white raiment. You know, gold will make you, my kind of gold will make you rich. Receive white raiment so that you will be clothed. Anoint your eyes with eyes so that you may see. Close yourself with my righteousness so that the shame of your nakedness will not appear. I mean, this is all these things that Jesus called out to the Laodicean church. But the commercialism, the pursuit of greatness, the pursuit of wealth, the pursuit of, you know, whatever, prosperity, or whatever it is. And God will give these things. I believe in it. I teach it. But, you know, you got to put a balance. You know, you cannot pursue those things. those things will come unto you. What you must pursue is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Pursue how to make preparation and get yourself ready. Glory to God. So, that is our lesson today. And I am going to pray over the room. You heard it. And we're going to pray together. Today, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray as we have heard your word. Let the Holy Spirit show us what it is in our lives. That one thing that we yet lack. And perhaps it may be more than one thing in our case. In your case, it may be more than one thing. But Lord, we pray that you show me that one thing or those things which I yet lack, which may be keeping me from being ready. And show me how to make ready, how to clean house, the things that I need. Now, I hope you are praying this prayer for yourself. The things that I need to clean out of my house now that I know the Lord is coming to visit me. What are those things that I may be, you know, ashamed of if the Lord were to just show up in my house now? Help me, Lord. My house being your house, being your life. What are those things, you know, that you wouldn't want the Lord to catch you doing or see even in your house? Some of us have the accursed thing in our homes. You know, will you be able to stand before the Lord when he comes to your house? Will you be able to open every door, every nook and cranny in your house and let him go in? Or will you close up some places because you're embarrassed? You can't let him go in there. Or will he come upon you suddenly and you don't have time to get rid of those things that will cause great embarrassment? Well, this is the lesson today. So Father, I pray that each one of us will take stock and get ourselves ready. We get ready and stay ready. And only your Spirit, Lord, can do it. The disciple said, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, well, with men it is not possible, but with God it is possible, because all things are possible with him, and nothing shall be impossible unto him. So, Lord, we put our lives in your hands. Help us, O Lord. Let us not be carried away, distracted with these things that we are chasing after that may be blocking our focus. All the things, you know, Jesus said, let not your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drinking, and that day come upon you unawares. That means some people, you know, their problem may even be to overeating. Just eat, eat, eat all the time. That may even cause you to miss the mark. That will be very sad. Very, very sad. So, Lord, we pray that you help us open our eyes and open our understanding, even today, to start making preparation for the great celebration that's coming. And as the coming of the Lord approaches, here's other things that we need to do. Who then is that wise and faithful servant whom the Lord shall find so doing? What is the thing that the Lord gave you to be doing? Now, this is something that you got to figure out. If he finds you so doing, then he said, great reward. So be sure that you are doing the things that God have you to be doing. And there are some things that each one of us should be doing. Each one of us should be a witness for him. Now, how we do that is different from person to person. But your light must be shining so that others may see and give glory to God. We got to be that witness. For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. And they did receive power, and they were his witnesses. And so if we also have claimed to receive, or claim to have received that same Holy Ghost, where is the power to be effective witnesses? You got to be an effective witness. And here's the other thing we should be doing too. I'm calling out some of these things that we should be doing. You know, even those of us who are teachers. He said, that servant who knew the Lord's will and did it not, will receive the greater stripes. And they who teach others, but they themselves don't do it, they will be the least in the kingdom. I don't want to be that. So be ye not also many of you teachers. Lord, call them. Don't be, because you'll receive the greater condemnation. So it's a tremendous responsibility. And it's a high risk, high stakes function to try to be a teacher, because you put yourself even at greater risk. But we must put out the word of God. I pray for myself that I will have the grace that after preaching to others, I myself will not be a castaway. Now, I don't want to be one of the pastors that will be left behind. You know, so I must do the things that I'm teaching others to do also. What are in your areas of life of unforgiveness or this or that that you need to deal with? This thing may be holding you back. And just because the Lord is blessing you in material things has nothing to do with this. The man that came to Jesus had great riches and he was prospering, but yet something was holding him back. Some people think that, oh, you know, if you are not in right standing with God, then you will not be prospered. It's the farthest thing from the truth. You know, God will prosper you if you know, if there are some principles of prosperity. If you know how to walk it, it'll work for you. And there are some, you know, God, you know how to use your faith and some other things, it'll work for you. But that doesn't mean that you are in right standing. It has nothing to do with that. You know, being in right standing with God is doing things according to what is right in the sight of the Lord and according to his word, not what's okay for the world, and not being politically correct or whatever, even religiously correct. It's nothing to do with any of that. It's being in right standing with God. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I want everybody to take a moment and pray even now. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and reveal to you areas in your life that need attention, because the Lord is coming soon. Maranatha, therefore, be ye also ready. Maranatha means the Lord is coming soon. Even so, Lord, come quickly. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Even so, Lord Jesus. Come. You know, we are not of this world, and we should not forget that the Lord is coming. Yes, we have a role to play in this world while we are waiting. We can't just pack everything and go to the bush and say the Lord is coming. That's not going to work either, because there are some things that the Lord said you should be doing now. Occupy until I come. Whatever it is that we need to be doing, whatever it is the Lord has put in our hands to do, we should be doing until he comes. And all the time, you know, he wants us to do that. Occupy until I come. Luke chapter 19 and verse 13. We must occupy. You know, don't jump away from what it is the Lord wants you to do and say, well, the Lord is coming, let me throw everything away and then be doing some other thing. That's foolishness. Lord never said any of that. You know, those kind of things happened to some people who are around in the 70s. Many of them today, they're not even in the faith. You know, they've made shipwreck of their faith. You know, but we must stay in the ship. We must do the things that the Lord wants us to do. And no matter where we are in life, you know, whatever it is that God puts into you to be doing, 1 Corinthians 7:21 will give you a secret to that. It says, are thou called being a servant or whatever, you know, whatever it is that the state that you are in, they are in a bind. You know, don't jump ship and say, oh, the Lord is coming. Therefore, I'm going to quit everything and go and go to the bush. That's not what I'm saying. And thou call being a servant, can't offer it. But if thou can be made free, use it rather. You know, for everyone that is called being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he's called being free is the Lord's servants. Ye are bought with a price. So be not the servants of men if you can be free. But brethren, he said in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 7, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. If you are called being a student, you know, we're not asking you to leave school and go and hide in the bush. If you are called being an entrepreneur in the marketplace, you can shine for Jesus there. If you are called being, you know, you're walking here and there, whatever it is, you know, stay there and shine for Jesus. Occupy until I come. You know, but there are some things that we may need to change to make sure that we truly get ready. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. And I certainly hope that it's been a blessing to you. I want you to come to the stage. Give your reaction. And this is a little bit different from some of the things we've been teaching. But perhaps the most important to date. Because all these other things, if you miss this one, you know, what good is it going to be unto you? It will be sad, very sad, if, you know, the Lord were to come and then we are ashamed. I mean, it's church folks that are going to have that weeping and gnashing. It's church folks that are going to be, you know, well, I pray that that will not happen to us. You know, so let's start making preparation, folks. And if you want to give a reaction to this lesson, this important lesson, please come to the stage. Now is the time to do that. I've finished my own part. God bless everyone. Thank you for listening, those of you who are here now, and those that may be listening to the replay. Thank you for listening. I pray that the Lord give you the grace to engage this message in the spirit. Don't engage it in the flesh, because if you engage in the flesh, you just say, oh, that's a wonderful message. But it will have no impact at all. You know, an hour or two from now, you will have forgotten what the message even said, because you engage it in the flesh. But if you engage in the spirit, the Holy Spirit will work on you and help you to make ready. This is a lesson for today. Start making ready and stay ready. Don't put your hand in a plow and look back. That doesn't make us fit for the kingdom. Let's be ready. Let's be making preparation. Let's clean up those things that we'll be embarrassed about if the Lord were to visit our house today. Get rid of those things. And he's right at around the corner. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Hallelujah.